We've probably heard the expression, guard your mind. Today, let's take a closer look at a verse in Proverbs that addresses this expression, maybe even where it started from, if you would. Be turning, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 23. The expression, with your guarding your mind, protecting your mind, we hear politicians use it. Coaches use it when they're talking to their players. Keep focused on the game. Bosses use it. Keep your mind on the job. Those things. It goes on and on for what many people say. But we want to look at this because this is what God has to say about it. If you look near the end of chapter 4, this short verse has just two lines to it, one sentence. And it's fairly easy to read through or read over, if you would. But let's take a closer look at what additional meaning we can find, using Strong's to define four key words I want to discuss. But first, let's look at verse 23. It states, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. First, let's look at the word keep. It's defined as to guard or to protect. In other words, to keep what you're guarding safe from attack. The next word we want to look at is heart. With heart, the word here as it's used includes the motives, feelings, affections, and desires in addition to the will, the aims, the principles, the thoughts, and the intellect of man. A whole lot of words there. Basically, what you are at your core is what they're trying to say. Additionally, it can also describe the heart as being receptive to the influences both from the world and from God, which is interesting when you add that into what's been said. Our third word we want to look at here is diligence. Strong's had one word to say about it that I looked at. Deposit. Deposit? Seems kind of strange. So I looked in Webster's to understand deposit better. And it means a place to for safekeeping, like you would your jewelry, something of value to you, those things. That brings it back a bit more. And finally, the word we want to look at and see what was stated is issues. Issues refer here to the actions, words, and emotions that come from the inner man, who you are when everything else is taken away. As some refer to it, when you strip away the thin veneer of civilization, who are you? And many of us have experienced that at various times with trials and what have you. But those are the words we want to look at. Now, we've defined them from Strong's, but now it gets interesting because, how does it really apply to us? What do we think about it? Putting it in a simple definition, a working man's definition, if you would, we're to guard and protect the heart, our heart, which defines who we really are. By placing it, it will be safe from unwanted influences. We know it can be influenced. We've all been there before in times past, I'm sure, where someone encouraged us to do something, and afterwards we looked at it and went, why did I do that? That wasn't wise of me to do. So we want to protect it from those things. Used in this sense, you can say that the heart directs our thoughts and emotions, what we're thinking, how we're going to respond to things. If you really think about it, what we allow into our heart, that's where the guarding comes in, influences how we view the world and how we're going to interact with it, with all that goes on around us. Are we going to react to it? Are we going to respond to it? Reaction is knee-jerk. You get stung by a bee, you jerk back from it. If you respond to it, you realize to get away from where the bees are and you won't get stung more. That's what you're doing. That's what is inferred here. It's a learning process. To get more on what we're looking at here, if you would be turning over to staying in Proverbs, but chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 32, because they bring out an interesting point here. This I noticed in the New King James Study Bible. They had this comment, and they referred to it. And I think it's applicable for what we've looked at already in chapter 4. But in Proverbs 24 and 32, it considers this, that if the heart is a summation of the inner man and who we really are, what can we do if we have things there that we shouldn't have? So we react poorly. We have anger issues. We have jealousy issues. Other problems like that. Leading up to verse 32 in Proverbs 24, the writer is describing the field of a lazy man. It's all overgrown, weeds up, trees, all sorts of trash there. Then he says this in verse 32. When I saw it, what we've just mentioned, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. What he's saying here is he educates who he is because he looked at it and realized the troubles and problems that man was going to have by being lazy. He thought and considered it, which means we can educate our heart. That's what was brought out in, I say, the New King James. And that gives us a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement. Because if we can educate our heart, what are we to do after we're baptized and have God's Spirit? We're to grow to be like our Savior Jesus Christ. How do we get there? We get there by changing who we are. We're educating our heart, our mind, our concept, how we respond, what we do, what we think. That's what we're looking at. Now, the education of our hearts can be worldly, which as children, we're all worldly. There's nothing else to it because we didn't have God's Spirit to understand it. But with God's Spirit, then there is the option of being worldly and struggling with problems all the time, or walking God's way, recognizing and seeing what is wrong that we're doing and changing from it. There's a restaurant I like to go to as an example of what you have to change that has a plastic cup. If you buy it, you can go back and for 99 cents, you get a refill. Well, that was great, but I was very thirsty. Well, I carry a Yeti in the truck, and I thought, man, yes, John, you're right. And I did. My loving wife looked at me and said, you sure about that? I had to be educated and change. Because when I realized it was for me to carry that cup out with something in it, not to go into it and come back. That's not how it was working. It wasn't written down, but that's what was meant. And we're all laughing. We know exactly where I was. Yes. And that's the point of it. We have to be willing to be instructed and taught and receptive to proper influences. We guard against the wrong ones, but the good ones are what we want to look at. And how do we do that? We study God's Word. We have a foundation there that's unchanging so that our precepts, our concepts of who we really are changed. There are two points I want to look at here that we can help us to keep our hearts with all diligence. Be aware of what goes on in the world around us. We've got an election coming up. We've got schools that are banning certain things that the federal government has dictated, all the politics you want to mention. But what we want to be aware of is, this includes, if we're going to watch how the world influences us and guard our hearts correctly, we have to watch what we listen to, what we watch, what we read, even those with whom we associate. Because if we associate with folks that are, I have a man I work with, is a good example. When Ken and I are working together, Kenny, very clean language, easy to get along with. Let a couple of the mechanics come in or a customer come in that's, shall we say, call it for euphemisms. How about that? Little four-letter words. He can match them. He doesn't do it when he talks to me. I've never said a thing to him about not using language. I just don't. But he's perceptive and has picked up on it. But if we hang out with those kind of people all the time, words slip up. They show up because they keep coming by. You don't keep guarded against it. And they can negatively affect our heart, taint what comes out of us, the example we set. As a reference for that, we're not turning to it, but in Romans 12 and chapter 2, verse 2, I'm sorry, and then 1 John 2 and verse 15, and both of those, these two statements, I'm just catching them, the first few words, be not conformed to this world, and the second one is, do not love the world or the things in the world. Same difference. How are you guarding your heart? What are you doing with what's going on? How are you changing who you are so you can be useful? Second point I want to look at, you can turn to this, is going to be in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Leading up to verse 26 of Romans 8, Paul is encouraging the church to stand firm going through trials. They're not fun. They're difficult. Sometimes they're a long time finishing, and many of us have been through some of those. But in Romans 8, 26, it states, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Remember what I mentioned before? The heart is receptive to being led by God, by His Spirit. We have that help to guide us, to help us in what we're doing and where we're at and how to change. Very simple review of what we're doing, but the same point, short verse, but digging into it, there's a lot more to it than I first thought for. It's easy, as I said, read over it, read right through it. You think you understand, but interestingly, there's much more to the Hebrew words that were used and their connotations than what we do in the English language. To review this, what we were looking at, starting in chapter 4 of Proverbs 20, in verse 23, I'm doing it backwards, Proverbs 4, 23, I'm just reviewing where we were. But looking at it, there are some things to think about and take home. We're to guard our heart and keep it safe from attack. We're to understand the heart is who we are at our core, and it can be influenced by the world and by God. We must place our heart where to be safe. That's that diligent word I mentioned. We must educate our heart in studying God's word, interacting with his people, being at services. That helps us to remove the influences that are negative, that are bad for us, that make us much less pleasing in our Creator's eyes. And we all want to be pleasing and honoring God. What we keep and allow in our heart determines what comes in our lives, out of our lives, out of our conduct. Simply stated, I wish all of us to become very profitable keepers of our hearts.